Get ready to whiten those knuckles and hold fast as we talk the most dangerous, daring, and epic sea stories ever told with professional and volunteer ocean rescuers.
Whether lifeguards rushing into the waves from their towers, police and fireboats pulling victims from beyond the surf line, or bystanders taking action to save another, those who go down to the sea enter the most challenging and dangerous environment on Earth.
Only here will you hear their stories and the lessons gained through their experience. I'm your host, Phil.
And I'm Bill.
And we welcome you aboard They Had to Go Out podcast. Before we dive into this episode, we need to provide a disclaimer. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the individuals involved and are not to be construed as official or reflecting the views of any government agency or military service. This podcast is an independent effort with no government association. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of They Had to Go Out podcast, Beach Rescue Edition. Really appreciate you guys for joining us and for all the likes, subscribes, shares, five-star reviews, all that stuff that you're doing. And for the our partnership with the Association for Rescue at Sea and with the Mariners Museum here in Newport News, Virginia. So thanks to everybody involved.
Yeah, everybody, welcome. If it's your first time listening to us, we're glad you found us. After you listen to this episode or watch this episode, however you're consuming it, please go back and look at some other episodes. We've got some great stuff out there. Look at our other versions of the podcast and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Look us up on anywhere at They Had to Go Out. Give us those five-star reviews. Tell us what you want to hear. If you've got a good story, reach out. Tell us. We'd love to hear it.
For sure. And, you know, we've kind of, this is episode number three for Beach Rescue Edition. So pretty exciting. We've taken a round robin approach. We've got East Coast, we've got West Coast, and, we're kind of starting here local, with the next couple. So, who we've got is somebody that works right down the street and, works at a beach that I go to pretty frequently. So excited to have him on, excited to have him talk about a series of rescues a couple years ago. So without further ado, who we have is Mr. Bob Manners. He's the City of Hampton Assistant Aquatics Administrator. The City of Hampton's responsible, for anyone familiar with the Buckrow Beach, Fort Monroe Beach, and the Salt Ponds down in Hampton. He was born and raised in Springfield, Virginia. Started his current job back in 2018. And with that, Bob, we're happy to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, welcome, Bob. Good to see you.
Good seeing you.
So with that, what's your most dangerous, daring, or epic sea story or stories?
Well, I actually was in 2018. It was one of those days when it would have been good if the beach was closed.
Isn't that your job?
Horrible.
Do you get to close them?
Yeah, we don't close them. We just stay out there and rescue the people who go out when they should be closed.
Perfect. That's a political decision, right?
That's a political decision.
Fair enough.
But we actually, over the course of the day, bad weather, bad currents. We had, believe it or not, in the Chesapeake Bay, we had riptide that day. And we actually, over the course of the day, we actually had 9 rescues on that one day alone, which is just outrageous. I mean, last year we didn't have any rescues at all, knock on wood. We were really, really lucky last year, but 2018 was really difficult. This particular day, the one really bad one was actually one rescue of 3 people. It was a small child, his older brother, and their mom. And we had gone down the beach and we had told everybody that we recommended that they not go in. If they wanted to go in, they should, you know, only knee deep was the safest they should go in. And not sure exactly what happened.
In one ear, out the other? Is that
exactly? Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And luckily one of our beach captains happened to be on the stand, and reacted. The older brother tried to help the younger brother and got in trouble. And the mom tried to help both boys and they got in trouble and started to be swept away. And if you've ever been to Buckrow, you know about those rock jetties that we have out there. Mm-hmm. They're actually called groins. And the captain went in and was rescuing them, and he was being pulled along and actually ended up cutting up his back pretty badly on the rocks. No harm to the victims, but he got his back torn up pretty badly.
He took the brunt of it then, right? I mean, he turned his back to the rocks to
save the victims. He sure did.
And being familiar with those rocks, I mean, we're talking like barnacle covered scissors, you know what I mean? Like razor blades all over the place. Yep. Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't live near the water or not in another regular, anytime you look at a pile of rocks, it may look beautiful on top and, you know, they're mossy covered. From the waterline down, they're like razor blades, like without fail.
Yeah. And we don't even let people climb on them to take pictures. Right. We have signs up saying stay off, you know, keep off the rocks and everything. And,
for exactly that reason.
Yeah. We you know, we will yell at people to get off the rocks and they'll come up 5 minutes later and say, well, I was climbing on the rocks and my feet are all cut up. Can you help me? Well, you know, if you had stayed off the rocks when we told you to stay off the rocks, you wouldn't have this problem. But
and of course you're going to help them. But...
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Well, so what kind of storm predicated that whole thing, Bob? Was it
that was actually a northeaster?
Okay, it was pulled in, and then how did who reported the rip currents first?
Well, we found them.
Oh, you just saw it, yeah.
Yeah, we saw them. I didn't think we could have rip currents in the Chesapeake Bay, but we did.
Apparently,
and the waves were really big, and you know it that was the first bad storm that I had seen, you know, at Buck Row. Since I had started working there, and I couldn't believe we weren't closed. We had red flags flying but like you said, it's a political thing. We can't close the water. So we just had to react to what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
Right.
And what do you think? Like, so that being like the worst weather that you've seen, right. And you're kind of the man holding the bag or whatever. You know, what do you, aside from, hey, we can't close the beach, you know, what are you thinking? Like, what is the, how are you prepping for it, I guess? Because you probably know it's coming, right? At that point, like, man, I hope nobody goes out there, but somebody's going to go out there, you know?
Yes, always. Especially surfers.
Oh,
surfers
sure.
I mean, they're looking
right.
For the, dude, surfing Chesapeake Bay? Come on. Like, this is like a once every decade kind of thing, right?
Right. No, the only time we can actually get permission to close is if it's a hurricane.
Okay.
We've had a couple of those where we were actually able to close. But even, I mean, the storms that we've had have been so bad where the tide has been so high, it's been up and it's actually washed some of our large wooden lifeguard stands, just toppled them over.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was one of the times where we had that happen. And so it's all we can do is be ready for it and practice for it and be ready.
And how were you guys staffed that day? Kind of like what's the laydown of the beach patrol over there?
Well, normally on a day like that, when it's rainy and nasty and nobody really wants to be out there, we'll have a staff and we'll patrol the beach. And if there's people in the water, we'll sit in that stand as long as there's people in the water or near the water. So that day, it wasn't really crowded. There were some people there, but it seems like everybody who was at the beach was going in the water and was getting in trouble. So we ended up setting up all. We have six stands out on that beach, along the length of the beach, and I think out of the six, I think we had four of them manned. The other two are usually fairly quiet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even on a busy day, they're fairly quiet. So on a bad day like that, we didn't have anybody up for those.
That's kind of a foot stomp point to make right there too, right? Like for all those people that do ignore the warnings when you're told not to go on the rocks or hey, it's too rough to really go out. I mean, think about how many guys were just hazarded because someone decided to kind of ignore the warnings and go out, right? So make good decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, make good decisions.
Right.
Yeah, the people who get me are the ones who set up their stuff right by the rocks, right by the signs.
Oh, yeah.
That say keep off rocks. They'll climb up on the rocks, and then when you tell them to get down, they act like you've just killed their dog. I mean, it's like, how dare you talk to me like that? How, you know, I don't have to get off the rocks. And it's just, it's, you know.
Yeah, and
it's
for perspective, you had a guy get hurt. I mean, you know, a lifeguard got hurt trying to save somebody who did just that. So, I mean, that, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It's unfortunate, right, guys, that a lot of people, they've never seen the consequences of when it does go bad. So they don't think about it going bad and they don't believe it's going to go bad for them. And they don't understand the consequences. And that's unfortunate where our job comes in, right? To try and keep them, try and save them from themselves, as it were.
And it's really funny because everybody who we have the biggest problems with is usually somebody who says, well, you know, I was a lifeguard.
Okay. And,
well, you know, okay, well, if you were a lifeguard, you should know better.
Doesn't mean you can't drown.
Exactly. You know, I don't care if you're Michael Phelps, you have the chance of drowning.
Right.
And there's a reason we tell people not to go into the water for, you know, a storm or whatever it happens to be. And they don't seem to want to listen. They think they know better than we do, and they are there to have fun, and until something goes wrong, and then it's not so much fun for them.
Well, yeah, that's the whole job, right? It's to make it fun for them. Yep. And it's not like some lethal environment so that, you know, everybody makes it back to shore and we do have a good day, and like it doesn't turn into tragedy. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Well, so you got four towers manned, and I've been down to Buck Row within the last, I don't know, last couple of years or so, and they've, I know I've seen, I guess, how are they trained, and then what are they equipped with?
Well, the training starts actually a long time before the summer starts. Mm-hmm. Our hiring process is they have to pass a physical exam, a test. They have to be able to run a mile in under 10 minutes and swim a 500 in under 10 minutes. Then we test all of their rescue skills based on American Red Cross standards. And once they've passed all of that and they're hired, then we start doing our beach training. Before the season, we have the stands set up before Memorial Day, usually about 2 weeks before Memorial Day, and we'll do some PT. We'll be, you know, having them run and swimming and things like that. And then they'll also do rescues, work on their CPR, O2 certifications, all of the different things that they'll need to do over the course of the summer. And then we have PT training with them twice a week during the course of the summer. Usually on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, we'll have it for them. Mm-hmm. That could be anything. That could be running. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll play sand volleyball or
score
football.
Score. You
know, absolutely. It's working them out.
We call that a morale day, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sand volleyball, so, and if you miss it, you're doing pull-ups. That's what you got to tell them. Like,
right, there you go.
Every time you get scored on, I want to see 10.
We've got a lot more of this episode to go, and we'll get right back to it after this short ad from our sponsor.
There you go. So that's basically the training. The equipment they have out there on each stand is a first aid kit, a rescue can, their hip pack, so that if they do have to go in the water, they have it. It's handy with them. Mm-hmm. And then some of the stands will have spread out along the beach. They'll have backboards mm-hmm. in case we have a spinal injury or something like that. And then in our mule that runs up and down the beach in case there's an emergency, we also have an AED and our O2 supply, as well as more rescue cans and backboards and things like that for an all-out emergency.
And I've seen some paddle boards out there before. Is that standard at every tower, or how do you guys run that?
We do have they're actually rescue boards.
Okay.
They're usually standard. The problem we run into is with the wind out on the beach. You know, the lifeguards go to pick up the rescue board, and the wind carries it and it spins them around, and they have they have trouble getting it down to the beach. But we do practice on those.
Yep.
And on calmer days, we will have them out there. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I got it. So let's go back to the 9 day or 9 case day back in mm-hmm. 2018. So we got this family on the rocks, family of three. You know, one in trouble, two, then three. What else you got? What other cases happened that day?
It was individuals other than those three, just people going out further than they should have and struggling, not realizing that they were getting pulled out as far as they were. We actually have buoys set out, swim area buoys that keep people inside, keep swimmers inside that area and boaters outside of that area. Mm-hmm. And usually if somebody gets out beyond those and during low tide, you can pretty much stand at the buoys.
Right.
So they're not that far. But if they get out further than that, depending on their age and their ability, sometimes they will have a tendency to sort of freak out a little bit. So, you know, guards will go in after them and pull them in.
Sure. What about the jellyfish problem of Chesapeake Bay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's got to be like a routine issue down there.
Well, actually, 2018 wasn't bad.
Oh, really?
We didn't have that many jellyfish. Last year, we did.
Yeah.
We had jellyfish warnings up for a good majority of the summer because they were so bad. Closer to the end of the summer, they sort of went away a little bit so we could take those signs down. But, yeah, last summer was really bad.
Yeah. And how are they treating them out there?
There's not a whole lot you can do for jellyfish. Some people say vinegar. Some people say, you know, pee on it.
Yeah.
I assume your lifeguards aren't peeing on people, though.
No, probably. There's not a whole – I mean, some people will – they will find relief from vinegar, but a lot of people don't.
Right.
So we just try to, you know, keep them as calm as we can. We make sure that all of the nettles from the jellyfish stings are out.
Mm-hmm.
We rub them with sand. Wet sand, and it has a tendency to lift the nettles out. And then we'll give them an ice pack and try to keep the swelling down. But that's about all we can do for it.
Yeah, I've always thought of vinegar as a placebo anyway, but it's a placebo absolutely. That does work with some people. You know, I mean,
right?
Some
yeah.
people, yes,
yeah, for sure.
And that's jellyfish sting. It's just one of those things. They're usually not too bad, but you just can't get away from it. So anything that'll help you get, you know, even if it is a placebo effect, anything that'll do something for you,
right?
And then,
we actually had one last year. She was stung, and we actually had to call 911 for her.
Yeah.
She started overreacting a little bit. It did start to swell a little bit, so we just went ahead and called 911 and had them respond to it. They ended up taking her to the hospital and sedating her because she was freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so you guys work with Hampton City FD, I'm guessing, right? As your kind of as the primary first responder once you guys get them out of the water, and then
correct.
What about on the boat side? Who, if somebody pushes too far out, who are they calling?
We work really really well with the Hampton Police. They have a boating patrol,
yep.
As well as the state police. The state police. Water Division and the Hampton Police Department, Fire Department actually do a lot of their water training at one of our indoor pools.
Okay.
So we have a really good working relationship with them. And luckily, the Fire Department has a station half a block from Buckrow Beach. So they are able to respond fairly quickly.
Very cool. Do you guys do any joint training between the you and the Fire Department? Because I'm assuming that Fire Department's probably rigged out for some kind of water rescue, right?
Yeah, and we actually started doing that at some of our in-services, specifically with the pools. But this summer we're gonna start doing those with the beach as well. A couple of different in-services with them because they do work in shifts. So
sure.
We'll start doing that with them as well.
And how do guys adapt? So the Chesapeake Bay, I mean, for I guess we kind of glanced over like topography.
Well, assume, right?
Chesapeake Bay is kind of unique, right? In the fact that you don't really get surf, you're not getting bigger swells for the most part, right?
Correct.
Unless it's some ridiculous storm. But in general, not quite a lake, but definitely not quite an ocean. It's just it's a very low key level of swell, I think, is I guess what you take.
That would be a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So I know you're saying that you know the lifeguards are Red Cross certified across the board, and I'm assuming in the pool, right? They're certified in the pool, and then you said you guys go out for beach training. How do a lot of those guys take? Because it's a very different. Even Chesapeake Bay is a very different environment for a lifeguard than a pool. How do they take that? Is it a pretty smooth transition?
Yeah, because a lot of the things that we do as far as transitioning over from pool to waterfront, which is what we do with the beach guards, is similar.
Yep.
So instead of using a rescue tube, they're using a rescue can. But most of the rescues are fairly close to being the same. They just have to make a few adjustments for regular rescues. The ones that we really work on are spinal.
Right.
Or unconscious, especially with the rescue boards. They have to go through with the rescue boards and learn how to be able to put an unconscious victim onto the rescue board since they're not able to help. So we do work with them on that. So it for the most part, they do fairly well in the transition because they're the rescue styles and the sequences are pretty close.
And do you guys swim them in the ocean?
Or in we the don't bay? Put well, we do put them in the bay.
Yeah. Yes. What, do you guys have a test in the bay, or is it just a pool swim?
It's just the pool swim, and the skills are done in the pool.
Yep.
But the training that we do is like with the rescue board and the rescues, and as we go out onto the beach, they are in the open water.
Yeah, cool. I'm just asking just for reference. You know, you got a lot of everyone does something differently, right? So it's always interesting to hear how each agency, you know, trains and preps their guys. And it sounds like your guys are doing the right thing, making 9 saves in a single day. And then, you got some selfless lifeguards on your hand for a guy to put himself between a victim and a break wall for sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he retired from lifeguarding. He found a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I've got to find somebody to replace him. But yeah, he and the other captain, when I first started, really, really helped me out. Really, really taught me up well on how everything was going. So,
and what do you, they were captains. How's that? I know we talked a little bit about staffing and how many guard towers there are. How are the people divided? Like, what do you call your baseline beach rescuer, I guess?
That's just beach guard.
Beach guard.
beach guard. And then a step above them would be our senior beach guard. They're people who have worked for us for at least 3 years or three seasons. And who have demonstrated maturity and an ability to sort of lead. And then above them would be the captains.
Okay, cool. Well, I know, so we all know that we're under quarantine now, right? I mean, the whole world's under it. How are you guys kind of, are you still training people? Are you guys still hiring for the summer and then we're all crossing our fingers that we get out there?
What's summer?
Actually, for me, I'm kind of hoping, the situation I'm in, I'm kind of hoping that the beaches are closed for the whole summer.
Sure.
We're not able to do any training until after June 10th.
Yep.
Unfortunately. So what I'm doing right now, our pool staff, the pools are closed. Our pool staff is currently actually out at the beach, monitoring the beach to make sure that the beaches are closed, making sure that people are staying off the beach. But there's only two or three at a time out at Buck Row. Then they're driving the mule up and down, making sure people are exercising the way they're supposed to be. But what I'm probably going to end up having to do is take some of my more experienced beach staff if we open on June 10th. And it's just going to be a matter of taking my experienced beach guards and having them out on the beach, probably patrolling more of an area than they normally would until I can get everybody else trained up and you know, comfortable with them being out on the stands.
Sure.
Yeah, I hope I hope we get it open. I will say one thing, instead of closing them, right, just throw that sign up there that says swim at your own risk. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That's always one option.
I actually was talking to Dan Jones over in Norfolk, and he's thinking that he might have to do that.
Yeah.
Because he, as of right now, he cannot even work any of his part-time people until July 1.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he's going to have to cover all of their beaches with his full-time staff. And he doesn't have enough full-time staff to cover everybody, all of the beaches that they have. So they might have signs out, you know, lifeguard on duty, swim at your own risk. So.
Difficult times. I mean, I think we're all trying to survive right now. So, you know, swim at your own risk. You got to do what you got to do to survive. Some people need to be outside though. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Bob, we so much appreciate you being on today. Any parting shots or anything that you'd like to, you know, throw out there at the close?
Yeah, when the beaches do open, just please obey the lifeguard. You know, they're not trying to ruin your day. They're not trying to take away your fun. They're trying to keep you safe, and they're trying to keep themselves safe at the same time. So, you know, just listen to the lifeguards, follow the rules. They're posted everywhere. You should be able to, you know what the rules are. They're on every stand that we have. So just, you know, pay attention to what's going on.
Solid advice, Bob. And I encourage everybody, if you haven't, have not been to the city of Hampton Beaches, in my personal opinion, if you're on the peninsula here in, you know, the Newport News, Hampton area, Hampton by far has the top tier parks in the area.
Buckrow is a great beach. It really is.
Buckrow, Fort Monroe is amazing. I mean, what a cool lot of history.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then you got, you know, another favorite, right? Without lifeguards, apparently, is Grandview, but that's a little known secret. And I'm not going to tell you guys where you got to park to get in there because I like it. So
I don't even know where that is. So you're going to have to tell me.
Good. Ain't happening. Yeah. Ain't happening. Yep.
Well, that's a nature preserve. We don't guard that one.
Yep.
So right. It's
pristine beast, though, right? Maybe not pristine, but yeah, swim at your own risk for sure. Well, hey, Bob, again, really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, and you know, wish you and your family and your staff the best, and that everyone stays healthy.
Thank you.
And just thanks a lot, man. Keep doing what you're doing and stay safe out there.
All right. Thanks for a lot. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
If you like what this podcast is about and what we delivered, look us up at theyhadtogooutcom. or your favorite podcast platform, and like, comment, subscribe, and share so we can keep the momentum up and do bigger things going forward.
Look for a new episode every Sunday. Until then, fair winds and following seas.